Welcome back to the Defense Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Civilian Sydney. We are now on episode 3 of our Beyond Borders series. We're exploring the role of space in U.S. defense. So far, we've had great chats with Melissa Owens from Omni Federal on government education, and Patrick Barrett and Jay Cavale from Infinity Systems Engineering about their scope of work, needs in government tech, OTAs, and more. If you missed those episodes, I highly recommend that you check them out. This week, our guest is Mike Malinowski, the director of the Space Enterprise Consortium, or SPEC, here at NSTXL. Previously, Mike served as the VP of Strategic Partnerships at Mercury Systems, where he led the development and execution of business strategies alongside the DoD. He also accumulated close to 10 years of management experience at General Dynamics Mission Systems and Boeing. He also has engineering experience, as well as more than 20 years of experience in the C4ISR domain. On top of that, Mike is an accomplished veteran, having served 10 years in the U.S. Navy. Enjoy this episode with Mike Malinowski.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the podcast. How is your week going so far?
Doing good. It's a busy week. We're getting ready for a bunch of trade shows. We've got some industry days coming up, and we continue to grow the SPEC team. So we've had a few folks come on board in the last week, and everything's going great.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, lots of growth right now. So I'd love to start by talking a little bit about your background. You bring a lot of different experiences, to say the least, to the table, from 10 years in the Navy to about 10 years as an engineer, followed by a lot of experience in customer relationship management, business development, product development. Would you mind walking us through all these kind of pieces of your background and how you ended up here at NSTXL?
Sure. A lot of luck and being in the right place at the right time, I think. Joined the Navy as a cryptologist, spent about 10 years in the Navy, and was working at Navy Research Lab. So I got to see a lot of cool technology. There was a lot of small businesses that were up and coming, and I happened to be able to join one of those right at the beginning. Eventually, that company got acquired by Boeing, and I stayed on at Boeing for a few years after that. I worked at General Dynamics for 5 years and Mercury Systems for 5 years. So I've been, you know, across the industry from small businesses to large system integrators, traditional defense contractors. Mercury Systems was kind of a little bit of a commercial company, a lot of product-based sales, and they were, you know, key part of processing architectures for a lot of systems across the defense industry. On that side of the business, I was on the receiving end of a lot of OTAs. So I got to see kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly of OTAs. I think we, you know, at Mercury Systems as the vice president of business development, I was responsible for probably 6 people that did direct to government. And we responded to dozens of different OTA consortiums. I really enjoyed working with NSTXL above some of the other ones. And I think that having, you know, very focused OT consortiums around things like smarts with sensor processing and other things that they did, and microelectronics commons, and then the spec space focused OTA really allows you to build kind of targeted solicitations and a consortium that's aligned to the needs of the customer.
Super cool. So I didn't know this. You worked with NSTXL on the other side, like when you were at Boeing or General Dynamics?
More so at Mercury. We did a lot of smarts.
Cool. That's awesome. So how'd you get involved? And was it just by chance that you got involved with like with SPEC, with space technology, or do you have more experience in that realm?
So General Dynamics and Boeing, I got to, I'd say, dabble in space a little bit. I worked primarily in sensor processing, but a lot of the things that we were doing touched space-based systems. So had some exposure then and watched the industry over the last decade. And it really kind of changed a little bit where you saw a shift from, you know, what was traditional space where things took 5 or 10 years to build and develop to more of a commercial-based model. So you have kind of this new space ecosystem that's coming along with these more of a commercial based company, but they're able to build things very fast, very quickly, and take a different approach. And I think our customer kind of lives in the middle of that. We still have a lot of traditional defense, but there's a desire to move fast and leverage all of the innovation of the commercial markets.
Right. Absolutely. I'm wondering too how your experience in the Navy shaped your career. Do you think there was sort of a natural path that your career followed after you left the Navy, or were you like seeking out different types of experiences because of your interests?
So I think originally I wanted to fly helicopters in the Army, but the Army recruiter wasn't very transparent with me. So I ended up going to talk to the Navy recruiter, and I was really interested in cryptology. So if you're not familiar with cryptology, it's collecting intelligence, analyzing threats, kind of solving puzzles.
Okay.
So that was exciting, and I enjoyed doing that for a long time. I think the 10 years in the Navy, I was able to go on to ships, airplanes, submarines, and all kinds of other places. I hated being trapped in the office and working behind a desk, so it was a great career for me.
Yeah.
I think the military gives you a sense of responsibility and leadership and a mission focus. So I think that's important too for NSTXL to have that strong connection back to the military and the end user, understanding how they operate and what their priorities are. Is important to me too, to making sure that we're delivering things that are relevant to the warfighter.
Right. And you have that experience, so I'm sure you can give like a firsthand account. I'm wondering how you stay in tune with like the needs of the actual like warfighter like you're talking about.
I think as I've gotten older, that's gotten harder because a lot of the folks that I was in the military with, they're all in industry now. I will say living in Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia area, it's pretty easy to still maintain a strong connection to local Navy. I can go out my front door and I'm 30 minutes from Dahlgren, Virginia, 10 minutes from Quantico, 20 minutes from Fort Belvoir. So it's a great location to stay connected to the military.
Yeah, that's a good point. Cool. So now you've obviously taken on the role of director for SPEC. When you first came into the role last year, what were your overarching goals for the program, and have those goals shifted at all now that you've got a few months under your belt?
I'd say I had probably two goals that developed over my first 5 or 6 months here. The first one is just maintaining strong connection to Space Systems Command, understanding how they operate and what their requirements and needs are. We want to make it easy for them to use the OTA and support their team to the maximum extent possible. We want to make it very easy for them to get things on contract quickly and adhere to the terms and conditions of the contract.
Yeah.
I think the second part of that is maintaining a robust consortium. The SPEC contract is so broad from a technical focus. We could be doing navigation system one day, AI machine learning a different day, a launch system. It could be a sensor. And so because of that, we have to have a really broad and diverse set of teammates and consortium members. I think on average, we're running between 500 and 600 consortium members on the space enterprise side. So a big part of that is making sure that we have the right industry base to respond to the government when they need something.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. So do you feel like that's kind of stayed true, those two goals from when you started to now?
I think those are still my two priorities. I would say, another one is if you look at the mix of the companies, space has always had a high bar of entry into the market. So there was a smaller pool of companies that had a really high percentage of the work in that area. If you look at the Space Enterprise Consortium and the OTA, we really get incentivized to look at non-traditional defense contractors. On average, I think about 70% of the 600 members are non-traditional defense. That could be a small business, disadvantaged business, could be a university or an FFRDC, UARC kind of thing. So one of the things that we definitely want to do is encourage participation in the space market. That also gives the government a lot more choices and competition when they look at how to solve the problem.
Right. They have access to the best technology, even if it's a very small business or small company. Yeah. So are there any projects that you kind of have in the works right now or within SPEC that you're really excited about, or any kind of foundational pieces that the industry should be aware of?
Spec has some interesting requirements that put a lot of the work that we do behind a login page on, yeah, on the website. Right. So it's hard to get into specific programs. But what I will say is, we've got a lot of public releases. We've awarded Forge C2, Deep Space Domain Awareness, SML was awarded and announced. Mm-hmm. We're starting to do some work with the Test and Training Command, which is a new thing for us. And I think in the coming soon notices, you're going to start to see a lot more about things like API Gateway and GPS. CubeSat is a growing area where there's a lot of demand for that. And then also just some of the sensor processing and mission planning capabilities that go with supporting all of that. A lot of things going on. And I think, what I would tell everybody is be a member, check the website, come back as often as possible, because there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Would you mind explaining API Gateway? What kind of technology is involved in that?
So API Gateway, a lot of the simplest way without getting into anything too technical is legacy sensors are built kind of vertically integrated. And so they produce data and their data goes to this system. And then there's another sensor and their data goes to this system. Okay. And maybe those two sensors can't communicate or share data. So API Gateway creates infrastructure so that data can be shared across multiple sensors and then maybe even processed in different ways.
Right.
Or at different security levels.
Cool. So I kind of keep hearing space being referred to as, quote, the final frontier in terms of foreign conflict. What do you think that means to you and the implications of that on our nation? Do you think we're prepared for whatever the final frontier is?
Yeah, I would say space has always been kind of the high ground that the military uses for sensors, navigation, communications, all kinds of things. For a long time, we were able to operate there fairly uncontested. And what we see now is with Russia and China, you have a lot of near peer adversaries. So space is getting to be a crowded space. There's a lot of competition for that space. We have to protect the assets that we put there. We have to monitor. Space domain awareness is a big part of how do we monitor what's going on up there? How do you do mission planning? And how do you keep pace with all of the threats? I think if you were to just go on Google and type space Russia or space China, you could find dozens of stories just in the last month of things going on and things that they're doing. And so that really drives the need for contracting vehicles where the U.S. can move fast, move quickly, fund research and development and fund prototypes to quickly address the mission needs to maintain their superiority in space.
Yeah. You said space is getting crowded. I'm just wondering, how can that be? Obviously, there's so much space. How is it that it's getting crowded? Is it certain segments of it that are being fought over?
Well, it's there was a story that came out, I think, a week or two ago. I don't have it in front of me, but it was about space junk. There's so much junk in space and so many satellites in space. And as smaller satellites become cheaper and more prolific, you're going to have more of them competing for similar orbits. And so you have a lot of it's not as big as we think it is, because everybody's kind of competing for the same areas.
Right. That's fascinating. So I've talked with a few different guests about, the OTA, the Other Transaction Authority, and how it functions as an efficient contracting method, which you've already touched on. Is there anything unique about how OTAs function within the Space Systems Command opposed to Navy or Army?
I think all of the OTAs in general operate under the same statutory authority, but each customer is a little bit different in how they how they use the vehicle and prioritize and coordinate with the OT consortium. I think that one of the challenges with the Spec OTA is the diversity of technology required to support Space Systems Command. It's so broad and so much that it really does drive you to have a fairly large consortium. I think also that maybe the number of opportunities in space could tend to be bigger, but fewer of them. And so how do you reduce the risk of something the government's trying to do and maybe spread that into smaller pieces over time, aligning to their system requirements and making sure that we understand where they want to go so that we're building the consortium that aligns to their mission needs.
Yeah, Totally makes sense. This season, also, I've been asking all my guests about, you know, the current status of space defense in the U.S., which we kind of just talked about. Obviously, there's a race for the best in defense tech, and it's incredibly important that we keep up with our competitors. Do you think that we are keeping up with our competitors, in your opinion?
I think right now we are keeping ahead of the competition. Yeah. Again, you can find a ton of stories on Google of things our adversaries are doing. I think the U.S. is doing a lot as well, and I'm glad to see that it doesn't get in the press. And I hope that we continue to invest in prototypes and advanced capabilities to maintain our edge in space.
Yeah. I was just going to ask too, what do you think we need to do to prioritize or need to prioritize in order to keep our competitive edge? And you just mentioned just more prototyping capabilities.
Well, I think space as a domain requires investment in so many other areas. And so NSTXL is now managing the microelectronics commons. Well, microelectronics is a key enabler for space, except yeah. We have additional requirements for how those electronics are packaged to meet. They have to operate in a vacuum. They have to meet shock and vibration and high G, and it's really hot or it's really cold. So, you know, having a robust U.S. microelectronics base helps us be stronger in space. I think the same is true with sensors, AI, machine learning. All of those are kind of core enabling technologies that will get folded into space over time and help help us build better capabilities.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you think SPEC can play into those solutions, that groundwork?
So SPEC is primarily focused on prototyping space-based capabilities. So when the government wants to either enhance a legacy capability or sensor or build something new, they generate a set of requirements that they then articulate into, you know, we've done industry days, we've done reverse industry days. Reverse industry days are interesting, and we probably don't do enough of those, but those could be something where the government doesn't know how to solve a problem or write a requirement. They just know that they have a mission challenge. And so they can express that to us, and we can go out to the consortium and have different members come in and brief solutions or write proposals about how to address that mission need or challenge. Then that information can get, you know, rolled into how the government actually writes the proposal and then send that back out. So we've done some things like that. It'd be great to do more of those that are focused on what are some of the challenges around AI or microelectronics, and what can the consortium bring to the table?
Yeah, absolutely. That's really cool. Sounds like a very innovative solution. So that's about all the questions I have. Is there anything else that you would like to speak on or mention before we go?
I would just mention the SPEC team is going to be out in Colorado Springs for the Space Symposium, April 8th through 11th. So we're looking forward to seeing folks out there. We're going to have several of our customers from Space Systems Command there. We'll have a booth, and there's some member events planned. So look forward to seeing everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to it. All right. Well, thank you for joining today, and you have a good one.
Great. Thank you.